People are drawn to the latest trends and top-of-mind events, so they often base investment decisions on recent market performance, even though the recent past may not be a good indicator of the future. Find out more at Athene.com.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Monday's wild ride on Wall Street, triggered by a new threat of U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports, brings to light other places besides stocks that investors look to invest in the face of volatility. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The Trump administration is closer to allowing 30,000 seasonal workers to return to the U.S. this summer. Foreign workers coming back to the U.S. will be reissued H-2B visas, and in order to hire the seasonal workers, businesses will have to prove they would suffer irreparable harm without the extra workers and that their workers were cleared for the visas in one of the past three fiscal years. Seasonal workers are used by businesses such as landscapers, fisheries, county fairs, and holiday resorts to fill lower-skilled jobs they can't find Americans to do. And a timely report has come out that coincides with a national debate over college loans. The National Bureau of Economic Research says that canceling student loans can make life easier and more lucrative for borrowers. More specifically, the report cites about 10,000 borrowers who had their student loans canceled. Those borrowers were more likely than borrowers with loans to return to school, change jobs, or move. And those borrowers were also less likely to default on other forms of credit. Now, you're probably wondering how those borrowers were able to be rid of their loan obligations. Turns out those loans were dismissed by judges after the National Collegiate Student Loan Trust sued borrowers but didn't have the proper documentation to prove the borrowers actually owned the loans.
Even when people think they know a lot about financial planning for retirement, complex descriptions can put up roadblocks to investing. Find out more at Athene.com.
A threat by President Trump to add to U.S. tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports to 25% sent stocks into a tailspin on Monday. That threat of tariffs comes at a time when both sides seem to be moving closer to a trade agreement. But we've been down this road before, with the path to a U.S.-China trade accord facing bumps and steep hills. Let's bring in Wall Street Journal reporter Donato Paolo Mancini to help us understand why markets react so negatively and why it sends shivers down investors' backs. So, Donato, whether the threat of tariffs is a negotiating tactic or not, the core of the matter here is that Wall Street does not like uncertainty, and the mystery surrounding the prospects for a trade agreement has stock investors really looking for other destinations for their money.
As you say, markets really hate uncertainty, and markets have indeed been banking on the prospect of a trade deal later this week as they continue to climb throughout the first part of this year. As you know, there was a big sell-off last year that pushed equities lower, and it was quite brutal. So when you have something as big as a trade deal between the U.S. and China become pretty much uncertain after the president of the United States tweets in two iterations that might not happen, of course the reaction is not going to be easy, or it's not going to be positive. So obviously now that the trade deal, people say it's a tactic. People say it might happen after all, and then it's a tactic in negotiations. So you've seen a resurgence in safe havens like gold, for example, that added in today's session. You've seen a resurgence in the Japanese yen, for example, that I think continues to add about 0.3% against the dollar. So obviously, people are trying to sort of run for the hills, if that makes sense, now that there was this big sell-off today.
Well, yeah, it does make sense. And there was a sell-off on Monday. And when we see stocks sent on such a steep decline, as was the case on Monday morning, investors often move away from risk and into something safer, like gold, as you point out. And that's what's happening now.
Absolutely. I think, when you have something that is as essential and as big and as long awaited as a trade deal between the world's two largest economies, and the prospects kind of go up in flames at some point, it's inevitable that there will be some sort of run for safer assets. Obviously, the other issues that you have, for example, chip stocks and Apple and stocks like Apple that are used to sort of herald big upswings or big downturns in the market. They've gone down a lot today, and paradoxically, they had led the market rally so far this year, mainly because they're seen as investors, they're seen by investors as a perhaps a canary in the coal mine, and they're just used to gauge sentiment. And obviously, they have, as companies themselves, as corporate structures, huge exposures to the Chinese market. And obviously, any complication in trade between the US and China would greatly, greatly complicate that further.
Now, these trade talks have been going on for some time, and while they're important to the US and Chinese economies, the rest of the world is watching very intently as well.
Absolutely. I think the issue there is that any big dent in trade talks means could translate into corporate earnings suffering, right? And if corporate earnings suffer, that is one of the first problems for the stock market, because it means that the companies are not as viable, or they're not able to be as profitable as they used to be. And that could definitely become a contagion across the world. If you have the two biggest trade blocks in the world suffering to come to an agreement, if you see companies unable to trade as freely as they used to, and if you see all these costs being passed down to the companies, to the consumers, and so on, it is likely that the whole world will react negatively too, because of the very essence of trade, which is everything is deeply interlinked at this point.
And many on Wall Street see the U.S. economic growth possibly suffering if the talks were to break down. But also for China, companies there have been hamstrung by slower growth, and a trade deal would ease their fears as well.
The rapprochement in between the U.S. and China earlier this year, late last year, came for two main reasons. One main reason was that economic growth prospects were not as good on both sides. And the other prospect was that the huge sell-off obviously kind of prompted people to say, okay, well, we need to get our heads together here and start to come up with a viable plan for trade. The thing is, in the States, that recovery has been much faster, but it's not been as fast in China. So China remains greatly exposed to the threat of a trade deal not working, mainly because its companies, the majority of its companies that are now private companies, are more and more exposed to market fluctuations. And that means that if a trade deal doesn't happen, or if you hit a serious hiccup, their ability to borrow is severely undermined. And if their ability to borrow is severely undermined, their ability to project growth is severely undermined, and so on and so forth. So it's really, it causes a lot of trouble on both sides, if that makes sense.
And it's a good reason to keep your eye on the trade talks, and also keep your eye on the markets coverage here at the Wall Street Journal. And Donato Paolo Mancini is good enough to join us for a little bit of a refresher and a 101 course on understanding the trade talks and impact on the global markets. Donato, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.